Greetings and salutations, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Curtain Call, where I spotlight the magic of theater, one conversation at a time. And I'm your host tonight and every night, Tom Candela. This year, communities across the nation are celebrating a remarkable milestone, the 250th anniversary of the United States of America. From parades and reenactments to exhibitions and educational programs, Americans are reflecting on the people, ideas, and events that help shape our nation. But history isn't just a collection of dates and famous names. It's the story of ordinary people facing extraordinary circumstances. It's a story of courage in moments of uncertainty, of perseverance when success seems unlikely, and of the enduring power of hope. Tonight, we're going to explore a new musical that brings one of those pivotal moments to life. Inspired by George Washington's crossing of the Delaware River and the powerful words of Thomas Paine, The Crossing, a new musical, examines how leadership, sacrifice, and belief in a common cause help change the course of history. And for many of us here in the Upper Delaware region, that story feels especially close to home. I mean, after all, the Delaware River isn't simply a chapter in a history book. It's part of our daily lives. So whether you're a history buff, a theater lover, or just someone who's crossed the Delaware a few hundred times without launching a revolution, I've got a great show for you ahead. Joining me tonight are the creative team behind this new musical, The Crossing. And that's just ahead on Curtain Call, right here on Radio Catskill. And it starts right about now. For many of us here in the Upper Delaware region, the Delaware River is simply part of our daily life. I mean, we cross it on our way to work, paddle it in its waters in the summertime. We fish along its banks or drive over its bridges without giving it much thought. But 250 years ago, that same river became the setting for one of the most consequential moments in American history. By December of 1776, the American Revolution was on the verge of collapse. The Continental Army had suffered a string of defeats. Congress had fled to Philadelphia. Enlistments were expiring, and even George Washington privately feared the cause may be lost. Yet out of that darkness emerged two extraordinary forces. One was Washington's willingness to risk everything on a daring military gamble. The other was Thomas Paine's ability to inspire a weary and discouraged people through the power of words. A new musical called The Crossing explores that remarkable chapter in our nation's history through the eyes of both famous and often overlooked voices, asking timeless questions about courage, sacrifice, perseverance, and perhaps most importantly, hope. And as America prepares to celebrate its 250th anniversary, The Crossing arrives as both a tribute to the past and a reflection on the ideals that continue to shape us today. Joining me to discuss this fabulous show are the creators behind this exciting new work, composer and musical director John Allen Watts, librettist and lyricist Jason Huza, and director Misty B. Wills. I want to welcome the three of you to Curtain Call.
Thanks so much. We're excited this to be here.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I know it was a long intro, but
no, it's great.
I wanted to get in what it's about, because this is a monumental time in our history. So on that note, Jason, what first attracted you to the story of Washington's crossing the Delaware?
I can say, as Canadian, being born in Montreal, our history just isn't the same as American history. And growing up, I had a fair amount of what I would call history envy. And Washington crossing the Delaware is just one of those visuals, one of those moments in human history that transcends the country where it happened. It was, mm-hmm. it wasn't just an American achievement, it was a human achievement. So that's just a story I'd always been drawn to and inspired by, and actually had the famous painting framed in our apartment here in Manhattan when John came knocking looking for a partner to write this with. So I wasn't a hard sell. I was already in the boat.
I see. In the boat. I see what you did there. And you made the crossing with the show itself, because it's a it is a monumental feat in and of itself. So, John, so then it sounds like that you had the idea first, or the music perhaps, for the show The Crossing, and then approached John for the book.
Well, yeah, I had the original idea, but I didn't have any music for sure. All the music came up from Jason's lyrics. I was looking for a book writer, lyricist for, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 months, if not longer. We spoke about the idea and he came back with 20 pages that just had me in tears. And that was it. It was 2018, 2019.
Okay. All right. So it was just an idea that kind of popped into your head, that we see pictures of the original painting, that kind of sparked the idea for you is, hey, there's a story behind this painting.
I was just going to say, the painting was a direct influence. It's just so grand. It's so big and over the top. There's all the people in the boat in that painting, right? We know Washington, Monroe's in there. But otherwise, who is everybody else? Who were the people in the boat? Who are the unsung heroes of the Revolution? And I think that, more than anything, is really the genesis of what this was.
Yeah, and enter Thomas Paine when he published The American Crisis. And that was read out loud to the troops because they were cold, they were freezing. Some of them were half naked out in the elements. And yet here comes Thomas Paine and has this idea to read this work, The American Crisis, out loud, and it sort of inspired it. The opening line being, these are the times that try men's souls. So, Misty, how were you brought into this project?
John and I both belong to an organization called the Commercial Theater Institute, mm-hmm. where I believe we'd both taken classes that were held by Broadway producers, kind of teaching us how to produce. John had sent out an email to rally people together to come around this production. And he was asking for creatives and others who might want to get involved in this, which I thought was such a unique call to action that I hadn't really experienced before. And so I was really drawn to the material, and especially at this time in our society where I feel like there is such an urgent need to come together. And so I emailed John and was like, hey, if you're looking for a director, I would love to be considered. And we jumped on a Zoom and really connected in their passion for America and for the material. And the amount of research that they had done really blew me away. They have spent years digging into this history.
Yeah.
And it's so special when artists commit to that. I just love that they were particularly focusing on the people on the fringe of society that were fighting the revolution, people who existed that I had never heard of. For example, Jacob Francis, who was an indentured slave who voluntarily fought in the revolution. And I just thought that was amazing to consider both the cost, but also the unity that it took for this mission to be successful.
So, Jason, in writing the book and researching the history behind the famous crossing itself, what aspects of actual history surprised you the most?
The biggest surprise that jumped out to me is, like you said, the fact that Thomas Paine wrote The American Crisis, that it was published so soon before the crossing, and that Washington had it read to the troops prior to the crossing. Any big cause, right? There's the physical aspect and then there's the mental aspect. And it just seemed like the two happened in unison at the right moment, at the right time. And theater is the perfect medium for that because it's, right, it's mental and it's physical. And it was just like, okay, Paine is our guy. And he was clearly one of the most important figures at the time. And just seeing how his brain and his writing factored into the military and the physical aspect, I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Well, yeah, that's a great point, because Thomas Paine, he also wrote something else that was quite famous, Common Sense, which many people right. said geared people up to fight. And that sort of started this revolution. And then he writes in December of 1776, The American Crisis, and people say that's what saved the revolution, because we were almost being defeated in that moment. Even Washington was like, oh my goodness. And to your point, Misty, I think we can apply that quote, these are times that try men's souls, to what's happening in our society today in a lot of ways. Yeah. I think it's very timely, this show, for a number of reasons. Number one, the Delaware itself, certainly people are aware of the Delaware River and the crossing in that painting. But more importantly, the 250th anniversary of our nation coming up in just a few weeks. And you have a fabulous story to tell about this part in our history. So I want to go back now to John about the music. How do you musically express a people who are losing hope? Because that's where we were at this moment in history, right?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I really have to just point to the lyrics and mm-hmm. the story that Jason put together. And I don't know exactly how it happens, but I start getting ideas. And I start playing with them, and I just go 24/7 in my head until the whole song is done. I do have feelings that I try to tap into.
Okay.
And again, each of the songs plots a different element. There's a soldier, for example, who's in his last moments before death. And so that song reaches into his experience through the lyric, right? But then the opening number is this huge salvo where each character introduces themselves and what they're there for and what this is all about. And it's kind of epic. So I got to say, I draw from a very broad musical palette because I've been around so long and I've covered a lot of different sort of territories musically. And again, it really was able to be expressed because of the lyrics that Jason has that are so elevated, and it just really matched kind of how I felt about the whole thing.
So, Jason, what comes first? Is it the lyrics or is it the music?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, I guess, the timeless question because frankly, we've done both, right? But every song was different, right? Every song has a life of its own. And to the opening number, it started with an image. The legend is that Paine wrote The American Crisis on the back of a drum, that he was in camp and he saw how dire.
Was that right?
Everything just was. He was looking around. Like you said, it was hopeless. They were in constant retreat. They had nothing going on positive to even look at.
Right.
And that's what Paine looked around and recognized the need. If you have nothing to draw upon, you have to draw upon the words, right? You have to draw upon your inner energy. Like, the stakes couldn't have been higher, truthfully.
Oh, true.
When you see Paine at the beginning looking just what he's up against, I think musically you feel that desperation. You feel like your back is against the cliff, and John captured that.
George Washington, at this point, pretty much wrote, the game is pretty nearly up. That's mm-hmm. a quote. So he was vulnerable. He was realizing we're losing here. How do you portray that directing-wise, that vulnerability? Or do you do that?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. Because I think that's probably one of the most inspiring things that we can do, is to show the human side of our heroes, right? That they were in a moment of crisis and that they had a choice to make. And to choose to press forward in a dire situation with desperate circumstances and to rally others alongside of you to go along with it is really miraculous and so worth celebrating. And I think Jason and John have done a really great job of setting up the actual circumstances. We do start with, these are the times that will try a man's soul in the opening number, and it's factual. So I hope that we can really show a humanness of all of the people that were involved. Now, stylistically, I'm going to just brag on John a little bit, that musically, I call the show our Les Miserables, because it's got such an epic quality to the music. There are these big, very full, rousing, epic songs. And then there are these really beautiful, sweet ballads that John has created a real nice
mix of styles musically to bring us to all different levels of emotion with it. And I find it very rousing and encouraging with where he takes us. And I love that these guys too have not just made this about the men in this story. They've also very wisely included some of the women who played a role in the revolution. Especially, I love they put Margaret Corbin in the show, who was a woman who actually loaded the cannon after her husband was killed in battle. And I love that there's a powerful woman that's in this story. And they also have a woman who's taken over a printing press and who is connecting with printing Thomas Paine's work, so that it's both sexes are a part of this revolution.
It's so exciting to hear about it. 250 years celebration. What a great time to be putting this up. But now I want to get back to that first reading. What do you remember about that day? Anything that really stuck out for you?
What I will say about that is just the stellar cast of wonderful actors that we had participate that day. We had a full room. And this is one of the special things about this show, is that it has drawn kind of the traditional theater audience. But then we also have the history buffs who are so on board with this because, for lack of a better word, they're nerds too. And they've been reading the same books we have. So really what I think we discovered in the room on the very first reading is that we have something like this works, that we can satisfy the people who really want the history to be told. And we can satisfy the people who want to be entertained, and we don't have to stretch too far in either direction to make that compelling. And I think that was kind of the lesson, is that this is going to make a lot of different kinds of people, history fans and theater fans, happy. And that's, I think, a good thing. It was just, it's one of those days where you truly feel like theater is a family. John and his wife were there, Deborah, who's been part of this from the beginning. And that's just the way this has kind of become. And now with Misty on board, like, it just has become like a big family endeavor. And I feel like a show like ours should also try to defy the odds. And having Misty at the helm, I mean, she's just so great. So,
that's great.
This has just been a family show. And that's another thing that we've been finding from the beginning, from the first reading to now, is just we keep collecting wonderful people who believe in this, and we all believe in each other.
Well, I tell you, people are really interested in history. And I think Misty pointed out that there's a lot we don't know, or a lot we think we know about the story or about the painting of the crossing, but we didn't know Thomas Paine's role. We didn't know how George Washington felt in the moment before or the days before. So this study of history, I think people are really plugging into that, and it's such a good time for it. Again, and kudos to you, Jason, for writing strong woman roles. I mean, that's very important. The women behind the men, or the women that had a huge impact on what happened. We don't hear about that when we read in the history books.
I was just going to say, I just love that the women in this story are not passive, that they are active and that they have agency, and that they were sometimes kind of forced to take agency, but they did so willingly and often in the place of their husbands. And I just find that really inspiring. And I just really applaud Jason and John for including that. And Jason has written really smart women. They are intellectual and they have opinions. And I just am thrilled with what's done in the storytelling in particular.
That's fantastic. If you're just joining us, folks, we have been talking with musical director John Allen Watts. He's also the composer of this show, The Crossing, as well as the librettist and lyricist Jason Huza, and the director of The Crossing, Misty B. Wills. We're going to get back to the second half of our conversation right after this short break. Stick with us. Lots of important stuff coming up about The Crossing.
I'm Stephen Dubner, and the next Freakonomics Radio. In his final years, the great physicist Richard Feynman went to some surprising places.
Some of his best work was actually done in these corners where nobody else had gone.
We'll get into his 11th hour adventure into a new state of mind.
He was lying on the same couch staring at a banana for 3 hours.
That's next time on Freakonomics Radio. Tuesday afternoon at 2 on Radio Catskill.
Hey, this is Matt Hurtado. Join me for Virtual Soundscapes, your gateway to the best music in gaming. Classic tracks from the 8-bit era, modern releases, and interviews with the minds behind the games. Wednesday night at 9 on Radio Catskill.
Okay, and we're back talking with John Allen Watts, Jason Huza, and Misty B. Wills. These are the creators of this new show coming to... Where actually are we doing the show? Where is it being performed very soon in July?
Yeah, we have several performances, but the one that we're really gearing up for is a part of the Passage Theater is doing a festival of 250th American themed works that are being presented in Trenton. And we are presenting on July 2nd and July 3rd an hour excerpt of The Crossing. So you would be able to see a good chunk of the show and get a sense of it there.
Great, great. Is there the give us the website, Misty, if you know it offhand, of where people can go to find out more information about the show and find out where it is going to be performed and whatever new schedule, sign up for a newsletter, whatever it might be.
Sure. Yeah, I believe we're going to have tickets available, John, you can correct me if I'm wrong, on our thecrossingmusical.com website.
Yep. So all you got to do is go to thecrossingmusical.com, and there's right at the top an events tab in the menu. And when you click on events, it has a whole bunch of events that we're doing, including the workshop at the Passage Theater, which is at a theater called the Mill Hill Playhouse in Trenton.
Okay.
And it is limited seating because it's a small black box. I think it's 99 seats. So if people are interested, they should get on that on our website and purchase the tickets directly there. I think it's $35 a ticket.
Perfect. Perfect. So Misty, what was your first impression when you first saw what was happening, saw what was already on the page, if you will?
Yeah, I think when I sat in the room hearing actors reading the material, the epic quality of it was really exciting to me directorially. I'm a very visual director, and I tend to be able to picture what's happening on stage as I'm reading it. And I could very easily see the staging for this and thinking about just how beautiful visually to have the challenge, one of the boats, right? We have to figure out how do we handle the actual crossing itself. And I think we've got some creative ways to approach that, but just visually picturing these people rallying together and seeing them go from that dejected state to an inspired fighting one is a pretty wonderful thing to get to create on stage visually. So I was really excited about the potential. And I think the music's so epic for me that it's really easy to think about the action that's going along with it as these people are getting called to battle and are pursuing that as a team, essentially helping each other get to where they can get in the boat and they are choosing to.
Yeah. Yeah. That climactic point of actually getting into the boat, I would imagine comes either midway or closer towards the end of the show. What leads up to that?
Yeah, we've created a protagonist that his contract is ending and he's really trying to decide if he is going to go home to his wife or he's going to stay and fight. And it's a true crisis for him, and to see him be weighing the cost of that decision is what's leading us towards what is he going to do. And then we have the generals that are planning the steps of what's going to happen to make the attack.
Okay.
And that's really exciting too, is that we're seeing the actual history and they actually have the names of the generals in that scene that are factual, that were plotting this attack.
One of the wonderful things that was discovered through this process is that the Battle of Trenton the First Battle of Trenton, I guess I should say, was kind of the start of the turnaround. I mean, and it certainly didn't change the tide of war overnight, but it was the seed, right? But there's really little fanfare that's given to the Second Battle of Trenton, some creek. But it's another fascinating battle that happens. It's very much, it's America's Thermopylae, right? They funneled the British through a tiny little pass. And it was one of those fun things with theater. And I just get to hand this off to Misty and say, good luck. I think it's one stage direction. Second Battle of Trenton happens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, thanks, Dave.
So, don't have to worry so much. That's her a problem for her to handle. But then it moves on to the Battle of Princeton, and what winds up happening is the 10 crucial days. But I know it probably sounds like I'm beating a dead bush, but you don't have to create much with this story. There's so much there that really happened, and these people were heroes top to bottom. Because like you keep saying, it was so cold, and anybody who's been in a winter in the upper, how do you do it?
Exactly. Exactly my point. And they were chased across the river. I mean, they were really in a destitute situation. It was like one more straw and the camel's back was broken. And then they have this incident where do the crossing. And you know what? The battle, the first, you mentioned the battles of Trenton. The first one, it wasn't really so much about just winning the battle. It was more, it provided, we talked about hope before. That's what it did. That victory, that true victory at Trenton was about bringing new hope. It restored morale and encouraged the folks who were thinking of going home. You know what? Maybe I'll stay around for a couple more weeks. This ain't too bad. And it renewed faith in George Washington himself. Because the government was losing faith in him as well, because he was losing battles or being chased across the river. So it really revised the whole revolutionary cause, that one moment in time. And that's why I asked that question early, John, about hope. How do you translate that into musically? There is one song. Yeah, there is one song, John, that I pulled up. It's called Will They Remember My Name?
To be honest, I wrote that in the car when I was...
Did you?
I was kind of cold, and I was parked in Manhattan on the Upper East Side. And Jason actually had written the lyric, and then that particular lyric came to me while I was in the car, Will They Remember My Name? It's a beautiful song. It's one of the songs I'm most proud of, and people really connect to it.
Wow.
But if you don't mind, I wanted to go back to your question that I think Misty started to share about what was the moment, right, when things kind of turned. And we really do have that moment in the show, and I'm grateful for it, because it really comes down to seeing it through the lens of our main protagonist, James. Isn't he, Jason, one of the people that's forced to read the crisis or being asked to read the crisis? Anyway, he hears it, and I don't know if he's the first one with his hand up, but that is the moment, right? We all have moments of having to make a choice. This is a moment when he made the choice. And then one by one, the hands go up. When you read The American Crisis and see how Thomas Paine addressed every single concern like he did in Common Sense, and he really spoke to the people in their language. So it was read aloud. So, again, that whole moment of making a choice, making a difficult choice, and then going full tilt to this incredible surprise victory, where not only did they really not lose anybody in the battle, but they caught the Hessians so by surprise that they captured 3,000 without losing anyone in the battle.
Okay, so gentlemen, I want to say goodbye to Misty here because she does have to leave. She has another engagement. But Misty, I want to ask you one final question. As you look at the crossing, particularly as it's arriving during the 250th anniversary, what do you hope that audiences carry away with them after seeing the show?
Oh, that's such a great question. There's not a whole lot of shows that I can really point to that actually have a really rich educational component. And as a professor and educator, I love when I get to give actors research to do, and how special when it's actually about American history. So I really hope that audiences will be inspired when they look behind at where we've come from, that they'll remember and reflect on where we've been, but that they will be encouraged to then press forward, remembering the power of the spoken and written word, that we have a responsibility to our country and to our nation to be unified, and that one person truly can make a difference and can encourage each other to keep going, even when the way looks dark and difficult. So I hope that unity of coming together with a common purpose will reawaken that desire for our country.
Yes. And this show, again, reflects a very important time of our national history.
That's right.
Misty, I do appreciate all your time, and I know you have to go, so I want to thank you. I'll continue with the gentleman now, but I want to thank you for taking the time today to speak with me.
Thank you, Todd, so much for having us. It has been a joy to speak with you, and just appreciate all your preparation for this conversation and encouragement in our process as well. We're truly grateful.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Well, it's back to you, gentlemen.
Now, in addition to obviously your aspirations of going to Broadway with this show, there's also a whole other aspect to this, the education part of it, and bringing this show into the schools and through music and acting and singing, we're going to be educating children to our nation's history. That's a big part of what I read when I went on your website, and it's all there, folks. When you go there, you'll see this. Tell us about this initiative, about getting into the schools and how it could be a huge teaching tool into the curriculum.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, but wasn't it your wife, Denise, who was an early producer, that mentioned this idea of a educational component?
My wife, who is a theater major and has gone through all the academic aspect. And then we're lucky to have Terry Sedgew and Larry Kidder on the team who have wonderful credentials to be part of this educational component. But then you have John, who works at the Kauffman Center, and his work with kids and musical theater. So when you look at the intersection of musical theater and the history of it and the acting part of it and the local, the civic component to what happened there and the outdoorsmanship of what they were up to, there's just so much. Or even just the words that were used back then that we wouldn't use today, or where the printing press came from and the unique little things that came up, mind your P's and Q's or lowercase and uppercase. Like, where do these words come from? They come from the printing press, and it was such a big part of getting the American crisis out. So what they did so wonderfully is create curricula for junior, intermediate, and advanced high school, middle school, elementary that touches on this, how the musical component touches with history, how history touches with it, and just all the parts of it and how the different disciplines intersect with musical theater. And it's probably one of my favorite things about this show right now. They're so great.
Yeah, it's such an exciting part of it when you think of it, to bring a show of this caliber into the schools that not only entertains, which of course is important, right, to reach people, but also educates of things of, like we said at the beginning, people we didn't know even existed, or people that we, I've heard of Thomas Paine. I had no idea he had anything to do with the revolution, the crossing, or wow, he wrote that. Yeah, this could be really, really impactful and powerful as an educational tool. What do you think, Jason, that theater itself can teach students about history that reading a textbook will not or cannot?
I think theater can, different from any other type of discipline, it puts you in the room, right? It's happening on stage. You're there with the actors. If they're afraid, you're afraid. If they're cold, you're cold. And that's just different than what any other medium can do. And I really think the hands-on, seeing the people who were there in the boat, including Jacob Francis, a person who was indentured in servitude, earned back his freedom and then joined the militia and crossed as a black man the Delaware with Washington. This is American history.
Right.
And Larry identified his gravesite, and now it's remembered on Veterans Day and I believe 4th of July. And that's just part of how theater touches history in a very real, real way.
Yeah. And I believe you have educational materials that go along with the show. Am I correct?
Yeah. So I really do want to single out Terry Sedgio, who has been a tremendous member of the team and who came on board only, I think, in August or September. She reached out and she was doing something called a Salute to America. I had never met her. And somehow she got in touch with us and we started going back and forth. And lo and behold, just a few months later, she's producing a full-length concert. And then subsequent to that, she really put together the Crossing Classroom with Jason and Larry, the three of them, who created the entire Crossing Classroom, which is a resource guide. It's an interactive, experiential way to teach history through our musical. And they created the entire three curricula in about a month and a half, I think. And it's extraordinary. So it's something that is available for schools to license. And what we're hoping is that not only will schools license it, but people who are supporters of history and theater and education can purchase it on behalf of schools. It's a very affordable package for the different grade levels, and then also we have a district-wide license. So very simply, anybody who wants to bring history into their community and donate it to their school so the kids can perform it and listen to it and talk about it and study it in a fun way, like Jason was saying, can simply go to the Crossing Classroom. And again, Terry, when Jason and Larry put this together in a beautiful way, it was another miracle, right? And again, I just have to single out Terry because she's taken on such a huge role since joining us back in August. She's now directing all of our concerts, and now she's also producing the event in July, also co-producing that.
It's an exciting time, right? And it's so, as I said, it is timely in that we are celebrating the 250th anniversary. So people who are interested in that package, that educational tool, can also go to the website. Give us that website again, please, either John or Jason.
Yes, it's thecrossingmusical.com. And right at the top, it says classroom.
Yep.
And the classroom is the link to the Crossing Classroom. You can read more about it. If you have any questions, you can always call me or write to me. There's an order form there and a licensing agreement, and it's all available as a digital download for anybody that wants that. Also, I don't know if you were aware that we have a very special campaign going on in New Jersey, a petition to make it the official state musical.
Oh, I think I did hear that. And that's on the website as well somewhere, I think, right?
I thought there is. Yeah. So you can sign a petition.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very exciting. Very exciting. So you go to that website, and not only that, folks, but you can also see little excerpts from some of the musical numbers that were performed, that were staged. Listen to some of the music. You can see some of those videos, learn more about the history of the show itself. And that, like me, when after starting to go through that, it was like, wow, let me research this some more. It made me go back and start looking at other things. It's like, wow, this is just really amazing. So it's very, very, very exciting show that, well, that you guys have.
That's what Brishan Miller, the executive artistic director at the Passage Theater, I think he said on another interview, so many of these characters do deserve the spotlight, and who knows which direction the Crossing could take us down the road.
Very exciting. Well, just a couple of the questions that I want to just lay out there for you guys. I'll go to you, Jason, with this. How do you balance honoring history when you speak to a more contemporary audience today, the kids who haven't heard who Thomas Paine is, or haven't heard who that black slave was who became a free man who decided to fight anyway? How do you do that?
I think you have to pull people in. I think walking right into the show and having people who are not that much older from a younger audience. I mean, Gabriel, the fellow that we mentioned, the dying soldier, I mean, he's 16, 17, 18. And this is real, right? People were really young. So many people.
Yeah,
it was an all hands on deck type of thing. So when you have kids in the show, I don't think it takes other kids too much of a stretch to see themselves reflected on stage. Even 10, 11, 12-year-olds, 16, 17, it really isn't that much of a stretch. And then when you see that they were kind of part of history, and that they were not just part of history, they didn't just witness history, but they took part in it, and that you can do the same thing now, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I really think that's how you bridge that divide and show that people were the same back then as they are now, and the struggles might be different, but we're all humans, and we're all in it together, and this was their struggle, this is our struggle, we're all in it together.
Wow, fantastic. And theater has the ability to do that, to bridge those gaps, to entertain, as I said, but also to educate. And I love the whole aspect that you're having about using this too as a tool to educate students and having the Crossing Classroom available to folks who would be interested in bringing it into their schools. So anything that I might have missed that you guys wanted to discuss?
Well, the campaign that we are on is called The Path to Patriots, and we haven't spoken about the Patriots Theater or Memorial.
Let's do that.
This whole campaign kicked off at the end of the summer when the team was a little bit smaller then, but we had, of course, Misty and Roger and Larry. We're still thinking and brainstorming about how we can really land this ship in time for a celebration of the event that we're celebrating and commemorating, right? So pretty quickly, we realized the Patriots Theater would be the perfect place because it's in Trenton. It's called the War Memorial for a reason, and it's a very significant 1,800-seat theater. So we came up with it on the spot, and we called it the Path to Patriots Theater. And by standing in that reality of making that actually happen, we started to bring in resources little by little, and we're still continuing to do that. So all these events that we're doing, including this workshop that Misty is directing, and all the concerts that we're doing, mostly throughout New Jersey, but also in Connecticut and New York, are all geared to be creative and fundraising opportunities to bring us to the Patriots Theater so we can put on a fully staged production.
Okay.
And that's the reason really why we have the donate page and why we are looking for producers to become a part of this, because that's really the fitting conclusion to what we're doing.
And that's a great, great idea. And that's it's a big endeavor in and of itself, sort of like The Crossing, 1,800 seats, a lot of seats to fill on, yeah, on a stage, and a big stage to fill as well, with lighting and set design and costumes and actors and music. And I'm guessing you're going to have a big orchestra for that as well, correct?
Yes.
That would be the plan.
Yes, I was spending the last couple of days orchestrating one of our numbers. That's the fun part. Writing the music and being in the room with Jason, writing together with him and writing the music is really the fun part. But yes, it is a big thing. But anytime we get discouraged, I just think back to what they did.
Yeah.
And yep. Say, buck up and just get moving.
There you go. Pull out a copy of Payne's work and read it to yourself and to the cast. I'd say, this is what happened, folks. Let's get going. Great goals there. How far along are you? Have you had people donating currently?
We have people donating, and the concerts are all fundraising opportunities. So little by little, it's coming together, but we are looking for significant contributions from everybody who's interested in helping us.
That's great. And again, all of that could be found, folks, on the website, which we've mentioned, but we'll mention one more time. Go ahead, either Jason or John.
Crossingmusical.com.
So, John, as America celebrates this 250th anniversary, and they're coming to see your show, whether they watch parts of it online, whether they purchase one of those educational packets for their schools, what do you hope that audiences learn from the people that we've been discussing, not just about the past itself, but about today, about ourselves?
Yeah, I think we talk about America being a unique country, right? It's a melting pot, or whatever we describe it, from many one, right? That's what that boat really began, because we were all separate, you know, mm-hmm, in the early colonial period. And there wasn't a sense that we were anything except British subjects. And it's the same thing today. We, from many, we are one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when we lean into what we have in common, we really get so much more from each other, from life, from what's possible. And we create things that are extraordinary for the common good. And when we're only thinking of ourselves, which is another way that we can be, then that kind of divides us and puts us into a different trajectory, which I don't think is really what the world wants, what we want, and what this country is all about.
Right.
This country was an experiment. It's still an experiment. And the symbolism, the story, and when we come together in theater, right? Theater is the most inclusive, beautiful coming together of parts where everybody is super important.
That's true. That's very
and
true.
And it's just the perfect metaphor for, I think, what we need to do on every level of our society. And I think the fact that we get to do it in art and music shows another whole level of what the human experience can be, right? So we want people to be inspired to continue writing and producing and dancing and singing and creating and painting and drawing and designing and building. Because when you do that, you create a new world that's more interesting than the one that you started with, you know? And I think The Crossing is going to be a wonderful contribution to the American musical theater landscape, and it'll find a home in the hearts of people in a way that reminds them of what's really important, is that our differences are superficial compared to what really brings us together and what really binds us together. And we're fortunate as a country to have certain ideals which are part of our foundational story, which a lot of other nations didn't really have to the same degree.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we have to continue working on it, perfecting it, and improving it. And the only way to do that is to do it together. So I think it all really ties into that theme.
Fantastic. Great answer. Great answer. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you for being on the show today. Folks, we've been speaking with the composer and musical director of The Crossing, John Allen Watts, the librettist and lyricist, Jason Huza, and unfortunately, our director, Misty B. Wills, had to leave at a certain time. She's no longer on this broadcast, but she was part of it earlier. They're all the creators of this fantastic new show, The Crossing, which explores a remarkable chapter in our nation's history at a great time as we celebrate the 250th anniversary of our nation. Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today and being part of Curtain Call.
Thank you so much, Tom. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
How interesting is this story, right? The Crossing? I mean, to the idea of making a musical out of that moment in time is just fascinating to me. Well, my thanks once again to John Allen Watts, Jason Huza, and Misty B. Wills for joining me tonight on the show and sharing the story behind this musical, The Crossing. As America prepares to celebrate its 250th anniversary, this new musical reminds me that, you know, history is about more than battles and famous names and fireworks. It's about ordinary people who found the courage to persevere in extraordinary circumstances and about the power of ideas and hope and shared purpose to shape the course of history. Now, speaking of theater bringing stories to life, it is time to lace up the walking shoes and grab the microphone and hit the road once again for another episode of The Roving Thespian. Thespian. That's me. This time my travels took me to the Center for Discovery, where I recently had the privilege, truly privilege, of attending a inspiring production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, under the direction of Conio Loretto, a past guest on the show, I might add. A talented cast of performers brought the beloved musical to life with remarkable energy, joy, commitment, and a lot of heart. And following the performance, I had the opportunity to speak with two members of the cast, as well as the director, Conio. So let's take a closer look and have a listen. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, presented by the Center for Discovery, Conio Loretto, past guest on the show of Curtain Call. All right, you want to give us your full name?
Yes, hi, I'm Abigail Montesino.
Abigail, that was a stunning performance. Tell us how you got involved with the Center for Discovery.
Well, I joined the Center for Discovery as a music therapy intern. I started in September, and it's honestly just changed my life. Conio asked me if I wanted to help with the musical, and I had no clue what he meant. And it ended up being truly a life-changing experience. Everybody here, the staff, the kids, the adults, everybody inspires me every day.
It was absolutely wonderful. I love the different styles of music that he chose for the show. I love the costuming, the set, the musicians. Everything was just perfect. How was it rehearsing with your fellow performers on stage?
Rehearsing was a great experience. It was super supportive. We learned the show little by little. We've been working since January, and then all of a sudden, we had a show. So it was really amazing.
It was, and you did a very, very nice job, I have to say. Beautiful voice.
Thank you.
Yes, music therapy is such a important part, I think, of what they do here at the Center for Discovery. How do you feel overall about tonight?
I'm in tears. I can't believe that it's over. It was such an incredible experience. I'm so proud of all of the performers and how they were able to just give it their all and be themselves.
That's a wonderful thing. It really is. And it is a shame that it's only one night.
I know.
One night only. But great job. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank
and
you so
beautiful.
Much. So nice to meet you. Thank you.
Now I'm here with the director, Conio Loretto. He's been a guest of the show before. Conio, what a fabulous production. Really, really. I had a chance to speak with Abigail, but I'm just kind of blown away. How did it go for you tonight?
I'm honestly speechless, which doesn't happen that much. Our performers brought it in a way that they have not brought it before. And I think yeah, I'm just blown away by what they did and the response to the audience and the audience's response to them. It just...
Well, the audience absolutely loved it. That goes without saying. I mean, there was clapping after every person made an entrance, after every person made an exit. But they were fabulous. The performers were great. I love what you did with the music, the orchestration, how you made some changes there to the original music, of course. It was beautiful. The set design. I love the audiovisual. Everything you've done. Tell us about the collaboration between your staff.
Yeah, I always say it takes a village to put on these productions, and this really represents the best of our Center for Discovery village. I think just about every department has their hand in this show, and they put it all together. I think one of my favorite parts is when we start working on the show and we all sit around the table and sort of dream, and then we have a team that makes the dream come true. We really do.
And you really did make it come true, and the casting was perfect. We talked a lot about casting that time, and I was surprised you actually had auditions, but you did. And the young lady, Abigail, fabulous. I mean, what a gem.
Yeah, she's one of our music therapy interns. So she came to train with us, and I heard her voice, and I said, so do you think maybe you'd want to do it? And she took it on, and I think she brought a level of professionalism to the show that... Mm-hmm. really inspired our actors, and people looked to her for advice, and they were taken with her talent, and it really helped all our other performers really rise up in a beautiful, beautiful way.
And her words were to me, this show changed her life. Oh. I think it's fat. I get cheery.
Oh, me too. Me too.
I really do.
Do you want to talk to
me? How you doing? My name is Tom. What's your name?
I'm Tommy.
You're Tommy. Tommy, great job tonight. How do you feel after all the hard work that you put into this show, having done it this evening?
Oh, my God. And you know what? I actually have to give my honest opinion about something.
Of course.
Not that yesterday's show wasn't great, but tonight's show, I thought, was definitely better.
It was fabulous,
in my opinion. I think my opinion was... there was so much more energy tonight.
There was. And energy from the audience. My gosh.
Yeah, do you enjoy having that audience cheer for you like that? I mean, that really energizes you, right?
Does it ever?
Yeah.
But yes, I thought tonight's was better.
Yeah, you did a great job. Everybody.
Everyone did a fabulous job.
How about my song?
Your song was amazing. Amazing.
Didn't you hear us all clapping for you?
You practically stopped the show. That's when the applause goes on and on and on and doesn't stop.
And my bow.
Beautiful bow. I like the spin you added.
I added lib, sort of.
Thank you for speaking with me, Tommy. I appreciate it. All right, Cunningham.
Thank you for all the work.
I was truly, really privileged to be invited to that show. My thanks for that to director Connie Loretto, and of course my thanks to the talented performers of Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at the Center for Discovery for sharing their time and their stories with me. And one of the things I love most about theater is its ability to bring people together and build confidence, create community. The artist I met during that visit did exactly that, and I know I'm not alone in saying that their performance will stay with me for a very long time. If my time at the Center for Discovery has inspired you to spend a little more time in the theater, you're in luck, because there's plenty of opportunities to experience the performing arts throughout our region in the days and weeks to come. Here's what's playing in our area. You ready? Get a pencil and pen. At Farm Arts Collective in Damascus, Pennsylvania, the annual Juneteenth celebration takes place Friday, June 19th, from 7 to 9 p.m. Looking ahead, they are also going to present their latest installment of their acclaimed Dream on the Farm series, Johnny Appleseed, a Historical Fantasia. That opens July 30th, and it continues through August 9th. For tickets information for those shows and all their performances coming up, you go to farmartscollective.org. River Rep Theater continues its 2026 season at the Delaware Valley Opera Center in Lake Huntington, New York, with the return of The Never Ending Story. Remaining performances of that show are this Saturday the 20th at 7 p.m. and Sunday the 21st at 2 p.m. For tickets and information, visit riverrep.org. the historic Rivoli Theater in South Fallsburg's Sullivan County Dramatic Workshop continues its production of A Bad Year for Tomatoes. Performances are going to be Friday, June 19th, and Saturday, June 20th at 7:30 p.m., and a final matinee on Sunday, June 21st at 2 p.m. To get more information about this show and the other performances at the Sullivan County Dramatic Workshop in July, for them, they're going to be doing Jekyll and Hyde, the musical. That runs from July 10th through July 19th. So for tickets and information, you can go to onthestage.tickets/Sullivan-County-Dramatic-Workshop. Or the easier thing to do would be call Rivoli Box Office at 845-436-5336. Forsberg Playhouse kicks off its 80th anniversary main stage season with Murder for Two. That runs June 23rd through the 28th. Then beginning on June 30th and continuing through July 12th, audiences can experience The Bridges of Madison County. That's the Tony Award-winning musical featuring a big score by Jason Robert Brown. For tickets, showtimes, and the complete 2026 Forsberg Playhouse season, you can go to fbplayhouse.org. Of course, North American Cultural Laboratory, better known as NACL, continues its season of original performances, workshops, community arts programming in Highland Lake, New York. For upcoming events, which is, in the future, later part of the summer, you can visit nacl.org. And I would be remiss if I did not mention Shadowland Stages over there in Ellenville. Saw a wonderful production there, The Reservoir. God, that was good. The rest of their 2026 season continues with Around the World in 80 Days. And that's running June 19th through the 12th of July. And that's, of course, many people are familiar with the movie Around the World in 80 Days. And so that should be a lot of fun watching how they put that on the stage over at Shadowlands. And then beginning July 17th and continuing through August 9th, Shadowlands presents Neil Simon's beloved comedy Brighton Beach Memoirs. So for tickets, showtimes, and additional information, you can visit shadowlandstages.org. Or you could call the box office over there at 845-647-5511. So lots of theater, particularly this time of year, coming up here in our neighborhood. There's no way you could say that there's not enough things to do in the Sullivan Catskills right here. So if you are involved in theater yourself, whether on stage, backstage, in the audience, or simply have a story to share about theater, I would love to hear from you. You can reach me at tom@wjffradio.org. And certainly if you missed any portion of today's program or any of the past programs, you can find Curtain Call in the archives at wjffradio.org. And wherever you enjoy your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And there is also a show page on WJFFradio.org, a Curtain Call show page. You go there, click on the Curtain Call icon, and it'll bring you to the show page. You can see all the past episodes right there as well. Well, until next time, I'm Tom Candela. Keep supporting local theater, folks. Keep sharing your stories. And join me every Monday evening right here, 7 o'clock, for Curtain Call, spotlighting the magic of theater, one conversation at a time. Have a great evening, everyone.
June 19th, noon to 4, marks the Juneteenth Festival Barbecue in Liberty, a day of fun, self-expression, and creativity. The Sullivan County chapter of the NAACP invites the community to Hanafy Park for live performances, local vendors, children's activities, food and drinks, and more. Celebrate freedom, creativity, resilience, and expression while reflecting on the journey from our past to our present and future. June 19th is Juneteenth in Liberty. More information on Facebook at Sullivan County NAACP.
on the next Radiolab.
I feel like I have Stockholm Syndrome or something.
Stockholm Syndrome.
A strange condition born out of a bank robbery in Stockholm.
The hostages start doing unexpected things.
Mysterious. How do these victims get changed?
And how did it change the rest of us?
Allowed me to take a deep breath.
For the better and...
40 years of the feeling of doing something wrong.
For the worse. That's on the next Radiolab. Wednesday afternoon at 2 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville, this is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.